welcome into the College Basketball Bonanza on this Super Sunday night. My name is Nicholas Hodo. Happy to have you alongside. A little bit of an interesting show on this Sunday. First off, not live in the Bill Austin Radio Studio for one thing. Let's just be real here. It's Super Sunday in Phoenix, Arizona, in the host city. Didn't want to go down that path of making things very chaotic. And instead, naturally wanted to enjoy the Super Bowl. So instead, we are recording it on a Saturday night. And again, happy to have you alongside on your preferred podcast platform. We're going to start off with the Tennessee Volunteers this week. This was the ultimate epitome of brutality for the Tennessee Volunteers. Two losses, two buzzer-beating losses, in a game that is really starting to show Tennessee as a weak elite fraud, in my opinion. Let's start out with the game at Vanderbilt. First off, you never want to lose at Vanderbilt. Never. Or at home against Vanderbilt. But, this was a close game throughout. I mean, Tennessee never really had firm control of this game at all, which is really concerning. Vanderbilt just hung around and hung around and hung around. And that's what's going to happen on the road in college basketball. When you let teams like a Vanderbilt hang around on the road. I mean, the buzzer beater was a fantastic shot. One of those beautiful drives and pass out to an open shooter in the corner. It was a perfect setup. A perfect play for Vanderbilt. But this really does hit into a lot of offensive concerns that they've had for the Tennessee Volunteers. Not that the percentages were anything too crazy. 7-19 from 3 is not a horrible night. Santiago Vescovi actually had a really solid night. 4-8 from 3. Tyreke Key had 2-4 from 3. 4-8 inside the arc. I mean, individually, those aren't bad nights for anybody. But when you're letting a Vanderbilt team shoot 10-25 from 3, that to me is very concerning. And, I mean, just a tip of the cap to Vanderbilt, but it really shows how vulnerable this Tennessee team can get. Now into the weekend against Missouri. Actually, a really solid night offensively for the Volunteers. Kind of the opposite of the Vanderbilt game. 12-28 from 3. Really good marks there. Vescovi once again had a really nice night from 3. As also did Tyreke Key. 5-9 from 3, along with a perfect 6-6 from the line. Game high, 23 points. But even then, Missouri had firm control of this game early in the second half, and it took a 15-0 run from Tennessee mid-second half to try and get some of it back, some of its control. And then just a brutal, brutal way to lose it if you're Tennessee against the Tigers, the last shot. Just an absolutely brutal way to lose. So what do we learn about Tennessee over the course of this week? I mean, individually, some really strong performances from Key and Vescovi in particular. I thought both those guys played really well this week. So those are not the guys I'm really concerned about. I mean, for the number one KenPom defense to be giving up 86 points at home against Missouri, to me, is a big problem. That is an absolute problem. And that's not good. I mean, losing at Vanderbilt is a problem in and of itself, especially when you're not getting firm control against a Vanderbilt team that, against really good teams, has been just south of awful. Reminder, this is the very same team, this Vanderbilt team, that ended January, the last day of the month, by losing at Alabama 101-44. This is an utter disaster for that game, for Vanderbilt. And for Tennessee to lose that game and then lose Missouri at home with just an utter lack of defense. I mean, just an absolute utter lack of defense. That's a disaster for this team that has been hailed as a good defense. It's a disaster for them. And you look at their next challenge on Wednesday, it is Alabama. And Alabama will go into that game on a four-game winning streak after having to pull away from Alabama on the road, which in and of itself is impressive. I really think Alabama's going to give Tennessee so many problems on Wednesday. And I'm really concerned about this Volunteer team. With huge potential to go into a big showdown in Kentucky, in Lexington, this coming Saturday, on a 3-game losing streak, having lost 4 of 5. Any hope this team has of a number one seed is gone and out the window. Gone. And just looking at the bracket matrix coming into Saturday, Tennessee was the last two. Might likely be on the 3 line after the home loss to Missouri. They have a lot of proving to do in the Southeastern Conference slate. Right now, still firmly in third by game, then it's Auburn, Kentucky, Missouri, all a game back. I mean, that Kentucky game on Saturday is going to be huge for the Volunteers. And it's going to take a lot to really show that. But you look at the combination of the lack of defense for the number one KenPom defense against Missouri, and then not that great of a game at all from any standpoint control-wise against Vanderbilt. That's an awful week for Tennessee. And you add on to that the loss to Florida on the road on February 1 as number 2 at that point. Rick Barnes has a lot of work to do for Tennessee. And he's going to have to really dig down deep. He's getting good individual performances. Like I've mentioned, Key and Feskobe both played really well this week. But it's going to be about how do you get some of your other guys, your younger stars, to play well. Sophomore Jonas Adu only had 6 against Missouri and just 2 in 11 minutes against Vanderbilt. I should add that Missouri was his first start, so he's got to really get used to that particular scenario. The freshman, Julian Phillips, only 10 points against Vanderbilt and just 4 in 10 minutes against Missouri. That's certainly interesting, to say the least. Oliver Nicola, the senior, and I probably botched the name and I apologize for that. Only 10 points in 22 minutes against Vanderbilt, 6 and 21 against Missouri. It's a lot of problems right now for this team. Outside of Feskobe, Key, even Sakai Sigler had a really solid game on Saturday. 11 points, 10 assists. Really good double-double from him. Fourth time this season he's had 10 assists. Tied a season high. It's a lot of problems right now if you're Tennessee. And you have to use the final few weeks of the regular season, the final 3 weeks before the SEC tournament, you have to work on the skills. Alabama at home is going to be the final real elite team you play, if there is an elite team in college basketball this year. And then you're going to have that Kentucky game on the road, Texas A&M on the road, South Carolina and Arkansas at home, and Arbor on the road. You got to find a way to get one in a rowdy environment. And I think that's something they're going to have to work on the next 3 weeks. And you're going to find a way to really work on your skills at home against that South Carolina team who's pure awful. And then against Arkansas, find a way to win a home game against a really good team. It's something that I know Tennessee is capable of doing, but these last 2 weeks have not been good from any standpoint. They got to find a way to get back to winning ways and just try to get the dub. Get one win, get a few wins. If you can play really good basketball going into Nashville in the SEC tournament, you know you're going to have a really good Tennessee crowd in Nashville. You know that. I mean, if you can prove to the Tennessee fan base that you can play really well these next 3 weeks going into the conference tournament, I still think Tennessee has a chance. It's not a great chance, but I still think they'll have a shot. And I think Wednesday's game is going to go a long way determining that for the Volunteers. Certainly Saturday's game will. And speaking of Kentucky, they had a really awful week. Also 0-2. Home against Arkansas, losing by 15 points. And let's make one thing clear here. Arkansas got Nick Smith back. He only played 17 minutes, but they got him back. And they still lost at home to Mississippi State. Yeah, it's not a good loss at all for Kentucky, as Arkansas wound up going away in the end. Just a pure not good result for the Wildcats here. Formerly 4 of 13 from 3. You look at Oscar Shebly, he only had 7. Cason Wallace actually had a really solid individually, 24 points, 5 assists, 5 turnovers. Three steals, a couple blocks as well for the young man. Actually, a really solid game. Chris Livingston, also another freshman, had 13 points. I mean, they're only running seven deep, practically six. So that's another possible issue, especially when C.J. Frederick scores nothing in 21 minutes. That's a big concern. He had an awful night. On Arkansas' side, Anthony Black had 19. Ricky Council led the Razorbacks of 20. 8 of 10 from the line, 4 assists as well for him. Devontae Davis had 15 along with 7 assists. But that was not a good effort from Kentucky whatsoever. Had it down to 4 early second half. Arkansas went on a flurry. And then it just kind of all went south from there for the Wildcats. Not good at all. The Saturday result, though, was much worse. Losing to Georgia on the road. Really bad loss for Kentucky when you put it in every possible scheme. This gives them now a quad 2 loss for the first time this season, according to the current net ranks on Saturday night. Still battling that quad 4 loss at home against South Carolina back on January 10, about a month ago. And they're only 1-7 in that first quadrant. Make no mistake, Kentucky's on the wrong side of the bubble. If the season were to end today, Kentucky would be hosting games in the NIT. And these next three games, the next week and a half, now becomes the most crucial time of the season for Kentucky. They go at Mississippi State on Wednesday. They're home against Tennessee, like I mentioned, on Saturday. And they're at Florida next Wednesday. Certainly could be a lot of talk about that one on next week's edition of the show. They need to find a way to win two of those three. And it might have to be both road games. And that's really tough. Really tough for this Kentucky team right now. And it's so weird because individually, there's great talent here. I obviously know about Sheboy. He had 20 points Saturday against Georgia on 14 rebounds, 4 assists, which much more like himself. Compared to the midweek game against Arkansas. Much more like himself. Yet it still wasn't enough to beat freaking Georgia. Freaking Georgia. That's atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Other than him, Antonio Reeves had 20 points as well. And then Jacob Toppin had 12. The missing had just 9. Wallace just 5. I mean, it's really hard for this Kentucky team because they're practically running only a 6-deep lineup at any time. 6-deep as in only 6 players are playing a lot of these minutes. 4 players Saturday played 35 or more minutes. And that's a lot for anybody. I mean, this is not a deep team. That's a huge concern for the Kentucky Wildcats. And I predict that they're going to get cut out at least one more in a game they should be expected to win because of this lack of depth. And that brings in a huge problem for the Kentucky Wildcats. When you look at the wider scope of the program, projecting now to be the second of 3 years where you're not making the tournament. 2020 would have been a 4 seed, according to the bracket matrix consensus when everything was canceled. 2022, we know that happened. 2 seed, first round loss to St. Peter's. These last 3 years, by John Calipari Kentucky standards, have been nothing short of an utter disaster. An unmitigated disaster. Calipari has lost his touch in an SEC that looks to be passing him and Kentucky by. It's really, really not good. It's not good. I mean, and the Kentucky team of 21-22 is actually really, really solid. I mean, before they lost to St. Peter's in this NCAA tournament, they had no bad losses. No bad losses. I mean, if you want to argue the Notre Dame one, actually forget that thought. Notre Dame was the worst loss they took. And Notre Dame made it to the second round after barely getting in the tournament, having to play in the first 4. This year's team is a disaster. It's not as bad as the 2020-21 team. That was a disaster. That was an absolute disaster. But I mean, there's nothing that can excuse what's happening now. Two ultra bad losses in SEC play, though Georgia is quad two. There's not a lot of games that you're thinking Kentucky should win left in the schedule. If you base it off of team performances and recent trends, individual talent, this team should be winning so many more games. But the problem is they're not putting it together, which is really disappointing to see. And like I've said, I think they need to win two of the next three. Get yourself to 3-8 in quad one at the bare minimum in the next week and a half. And then see what happens. But after that, home at Auburn right now is a quad two game. Home against Vanderbilt's the final true landmine on the schedule. And then you're at Arkansas to close it out. You're looking at four quad ones of the last six of the regular season. And then the SEC tournament. They're barely on the wrong side of the bubble. They got to find a way to win quad one games. If they can't win quad one games, they're done. They're done. And they need to win multiple. One quad one win's not going to be enough. They need to find a way to win at least two. I think it should be two of the next three. At Arkansas, I don't know if Kentucky wins that. It's a lot of pressure right now for this Kentucky Wildcat team. Will the team be able to figure it out? I don't know. But they've had their stretch where they've looked good at times. And then awful. They need to find a way to, as a team, figure it out and find a way to win as a team. I don't know what else I can tell you here for this Kentucky Wildcat team. I mean, let's not forget the reverse fixture of this Georgia game. It was a 24-point home win. You go from 24-point home win to a 7-point road loss to Georgia? To Georgia? That's an unmitigated disaster for Kentucky. And they got to find a way to figure it out. Because you look where they're at in the SEC standings, they are still fighting for a double bye. They are still right in the thick of it for a double bye. Outside of the NCAA tournament, there's a lot at stake for the SEC tournament. If Kentucky can get that double bye, that's huge for them. For their resume. That's huge. For starters, it's one less game you'd have to play against the SEC final if it were to come to that. But it's also one less potential bad game you'd have to play. You'd have to win. So, a lot on the line for the Kentucky Wildcats. They need just about everything they can get to go their way. Let's move on over into the Big 12. Again, another chaos week. For the conference, you look at a team like Texas, who lost to Kansas on the road, which is a really good game to watch on Big Monday. They turn around, beat West Virginia at home by 34 points. Meanwhile, Kansas, solid road win for them. Nothing too crazy there. Baylor also 2-0 on the week. We'll talk more about Kansas and Baylor in just a few moments. Iowa State, an 0-2 week at West Virginia and home against Oklahoma State. Really not good. Now down to 7-5, 2 games back of Texas, right next to Kansas State and Oklahoma State, the team that Iowa State lost to Saturday at home. Iowa State in particular, I want to mention a few points in this Iowa State team. Average head starting 13-2, they have only won three out of their last 9 games. That is really not good for this Iowa State team. They're still a tournament team, no doubt in my mind. But the next 3 games, from the home against TCU, at Kansas State, at Texas, before the home game against Oklahoma, they got a lot to work on the next 3 weeks. Oklahoma State, meanwhile, has won their last 5 games. I mean, they've been really impressive. Now it's 16-9, 7-5. They're really finding a way to get themselves into the tournament picture and make it possible for the Big 12 to have 80% of the league in the big dance. TCU at 6-6. They've lost their last 3 now, 4 of their last 5. They are falling out of the Big 12 regular season title race. I mean, West Virginia has won 4 out of its last 6. So, a lot happening. I want to really focus, though, on Kansas and Baylor. They are setting up a monster showdown on Saturday. This coming Saturday, Kansas again won 4 of its last 5 games. Baylor's won 3 in a row, and they have been on a really good roll, having won 9 of its last 10. It's a huge matchup. It is in Lawrence, which I would expect Kansas to win this game. Not going to have any official predictions this week, but I would expect Kansas to win this game. And it's going to really come down to how well Kansas plays its Baylor offense. You just look at what Baylor did this past week on that side. Again, tough games. You're going to always have to fight it out. But really good stuff inside against Oklahoma, shooting 60% inside the three-point arc. And against TCU, a little bit less, but also really good three-point shooting. 10 of 26 from the field, beyond the arc, I should say, there in that one. In a game, Baylor really had to fight back. A 15-2 run after the 10-minute mark in the second half really, really put this game. It flipped it on its head right when TCU was having a double-digit lead and about to enter cruise control. The game completely flipped to Baylor with a really good performance from the Bears. Flagler and Cryer were amazing. Flagler 28, Cryer 23. Both those guys played phenomenally. The reasons why Baylor won that game in Fort Worth. And then you look at the Kansas performances. Texas in particular, this was not about Jalen Willis, and he only had 2 points. It was the supporting cast around him that got the job done. All of them were amazing in that game. And then Jalen Wilson kind of get back to his usual self after this team had a really slow start. And then again, the supporting cast helps him out. DeJuan Harris with 16. Kevin McCuller with 13. KJ Adams with 10. Dick and Ernest Udi had 8 each. So you're starting to see the supporting cast of this Kansas Jayhawk team really come to fruition now. This is crucial. If the Kansas Jayhawks are going to win a national championship, it must start with a supporting cast. Jalen Wilson alone cannot carry this team to defending their crown. It is impossible in college basketball for that to happen. And so that's what makes these last 2 games so important. Monday proved that Kansas can win when Jalen Wilson had an off night. It proved that the supporting cast can help him out. Everybody. Dick had 21 in that game. Harris had 17. McCuller 16. Adams 10. Joseph Yosefu had 14. All 5 of those guys played a huge role in getting the job done over a Texas team who played really well, especially Marcus Carr with his 29 points on Monday night. That's what it proved. And that's been the one question from this Kansas team. Can they win when Jalen Wilson has an off night? On Monday, the answer was yes. I would prefer Kansas not test the waters and see if it's possible consistently. But knowing that it's possible, even if it's just a one-off, is big for this team in the memory bank. That's huge. Baylor, on the other hand, it's really about Flagler and Cryer. Flagler also had 20 points against Oklahoma in a game where Keontae George had to act like that second big contributor with his 23. Cryer only had 7. You're seeing different players really step up for Baylor there. Those 3 in particular, their respective games. Bridges, Thamba did not really play all that well against Oklahoma. And against TCU, kind of the same thing. Bridges with just 6. Thamba with just 4. I really believe that Baylor's going to need at least 3 big contributors to beat Kansas in Lawrence and possibly even more. It's going to have to be a team effort for that to happen. I don't know if it will happen in Lawrence. Me personally, I am going to take Kansas. And the significance of this game, why I talk about it so carefully, this is a battle to go toe-to-toe with Texas for the Big 12 regular season championship. Everyone else is falling behind. It is Kansas. It is Baylor. They're getting back at Texas. And let's remind you of Texas' schedule going forward. They're at Texas Tech this coming Monday. home against Oklahoma Saturday, and then home against Iowa State, at Baylor, at TC, home against Kansas. That's not an easy final 2 weeks of the regular season schedule by any means. So it's all about setting yourself up for success and then to have a shot at that Big 12 regular season championship should Texas stumble in the final 2 weeks. And if Kansas doesn't get the job done, even if Baylor gets the job done, the respective meetings against Texas could end up being for the Big 12 regular season championship. In other words, this is a game to set yourself up for a monster showdown later on in your schedule, assuming you don't stumble. And that's a big assumption in this Big 12 where stumbling is happening left and right. It's going to be a fun one on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. Kansas with its game at Oklahoma State. I would not discount that either. Oklahoma State's been playing some really good basketball lately, as I've said before. The five-game winning streak. They've won 7 of their last 8 games. In that stretch, 2 wins against Iowa State and a home win against TCU. All the other wins are outside the KenPom top 50. So we'll see if Oklahoma State can find a way. They have 5 consecutive games against the KenPom top 25. That will be a really tough stretch for the Cowboys. Meanwhile, Baylor has West Virginia at home. And like I've been mentioning, West Virginia has been playing some decent basketball at home. Not quite so much on the road. So that could be an interesting one for Baylor. I do expect them to win that. So I expect both those teams to enter that game 9-4. So that will be a monster showdown. I think it will be for a shot at the Big 12 regular season championship. I don't think the loser is quite out of it, but I do firmly believe that it's going to be very, very difficult for the loser of the Saturday's Kansas-Baylor showdown to have a shot. Let's move on. Final segment, what's going to be a shorter Sunday show, talking about the bubble. A couple major fallers. Clemson is first. Now it's a losing streak for them. 20-point road loss to North Carolina on Saturday. That will not look good in the metrics. And it's already a very dangerous situation for Clemson with a net rank of 70 going into the day. Bad not a conference strength of schedule. Make no mistake, I expect when the bracket matrix updates that Clemson is out of the field. Out. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard. But we kind of mentioned a few weeks ago that the qualifying opportunities, Miami, North Carolina, were big opportunities. They didn't get the job done. And so now you're looking at 2 quad 4 games this week. Home against Florida State at Louisville. Those are 2 must-win games. If Clemson takes another bad loss, I don't care what they do the rest of the way, they are out. Permanently out of this year's field. I would not be able to trust a Clemson team with a 3rd quad 4 loss. On top of a quad 3 loss they picked up that started this losing streak at Boston College. Really, really not good for Clemson. And after that, it's a Q3 home game against Syracuse. So many more landmines right now for the Clemson Tigers. But you have to be ultra careful. They need to win the next 3 games consecutively. Get back to what they were doing. And they have 2 quad ones left to end February. At NC State, at Virginia. The last time Clemson won a quad one game was January 14 against Duke. At home. Quad one away wins. You have to go back to early January before that. The 4th and the 7th against Virginia Tech and Pitt. And those are their 3 quad one wins altogether. That is a really dicey situation for Clemson to be in. I firmly expect they'll be sweating it the rest of the way. I firmly believe they'll be sweating it the rest of the way. And you just look at Clemson right now. I mean, their analytics are just not good. So that's going to be interesting for Clemson. They got a lot of sweating to do. North Carolina, meanwhile, just to talk about the flip side. That was a big deal for North Carolina. A Q2 win for them, snapped a 3-game losing streak. Unlike Clemson, North Carolina is past the landmines. They have two more quad ones coming up this week. Miami and at NC State. Those are two big ones. I think they actually will pull out one of those two. I really do. And then two quad threes and then two more quad ones. So potential is there for North Carolina. They also need to pick up two quad one games, in my opinion. Very similar spot to Kentucky. They cannot afford to let these quad ones go begging. And I think they need to do it early. If North Carolina goes into the rivalry game at home on March 4 against Duke, if they go into that still needing a second quad one win, that, my friend, is dangerous. They have to pick up a quad one win this week. They have to do it. I prefer to just get both out of the way this week, if I'm being completely honest with you. Major follower also, USC. Ooh, boy. They took a quad three loss to Oregon State. Oregon State is awful. Oh, my gosh. This is an awful result for USC. Let's have a look at this game a little bit closer eye here. USC really did not help their case with this loss. 61-58. USC shot 1 of 14 from 3. Boogie Ellis was 1 of 7 from 3. Only two players scored above 10 points. Not a good game. To be fair for Oregon State, though, Glenn Taylor had 18. Jordan Pope had 16. Two big performances. Glenn Taylor also had a double-double on the night with 10 rebounds. Really big night for Oregon State. And a win that really shows Oregon State that they can actually be decent opposition. They've kind of been on the cusp of that within some of their games. But they do get one against USC, and this hurts for just a multitude of different reasons. Analytically, it's really going to hurt USC, I think, even though it was a closer game. Already in a bubble, very dangerous position. It's a loss they couldn't afford. They could not afford that game. And then this coming week, they have two landmines, California and Stanford, before three consecutive quad one games. The road games at the Mountain Schools, Colorado and Utah, home against Arizona, and also a Q2 game to end the regular season against Arizona State. So that is going to be a situation where a lot is needed for USC. As far as what I'm concerned here, they need to win both their games next week. That's obvious. Within the Q1s, they have two in the bag, two wins. Let's just say two out of three for them, too. The road games in Colorado and Utah, they need to win those games. They need to win those games to try to get some safety back. But this is where the possibility of a two-bid Pac-12 becomes legit again. The third team, crazy enough, is Oregon. Let's talk about Oregon a little bit. Their out-of-conference schedule is really good. Really good. Analytics are showing they are on the cusp. They really are. The quad one against Arizona State did them wonders on the road. And then the USC game was a quad two win for them. By the way, the USC Oregon game, 78-60. Total domination. Q2s at the Washington schools for Oregon, and then Q3s and Q4 to end the regular season. If Oregon can win out, they can win out. I'm not going to include the UCLA game. Actually, again, I am recording this on a Saturday night, so apologize for a little bit of the impromptu-ness here. Let's look at that score real quick just for the purposes of discussion here. let's see here. It is actually a really close game. So let's run the assumption that Oregon falls. Let's run that assumption real quick. Go to 15-11. 20-11 going in the Pac-12 tournament? That sounds pretty darn good to me if you're Oregon. Even if it's 21-10. Oregon is starting to make themselves feel like a really good team right now. And they're doing it at a really good time. They're starting to counteract the two Q3 losses on their resume, which is ultra important. The thing for Oregon is, no matter what they do at the Washington schools, another Q3 loss is going to make it really dangerous for Oregon. Possibly done. I mean, in the bracket matrix, they're still out. And the first four out, and it's a really distant out. Going into Saturday, Oregon was only in 15 of 101 brackets. The last team in, Clemson, was in 64 of those brackets. So time is ticking for Oregon. They need to win out in the regular season after the UCLA game to try and make it interesting for themselves. How about New Mexico? Also a major bubble follower this week, with just an inexcusable loss on the road at Air Force. Their third 2-3 loss of conference play. Ladies and gentlemen, New Mexico is choking away an at-large bid. Metrics are spotty. Sure, the record's still good. They have two Q4s left. Two Q1s and a couple of Q2s. I'm not saying they have to win out, but they're making it unnecessarily interesting on themselves, New Mexico. And this was part of the equation that the Mountain West couldn't afford if they wanted to have five. One of the top five falling voluntarily. That's kind of what New Mexico's doing right now. Very much on that bubble. They were still projected in going into Saturday by a lot of people. A lot of 11s, a few 10s, a few 9s. But it's really dangerous right now. And New Mexico needs to find a way to win some games. Now. Right now. This is the last thing you wanted to see out of New Mexico with a stretch of 4 losses and 5. Not a stretch you wanted to see. Gotta win Tuesday against Wyoming at home. That's mandatory. Gotta win the Q2s on the schedule as well. So that's at San Jose State this coming Friday. And then closing out the regular season on March 3rd in a few weeks at Colorado State. Those are mandatory wins. The Q4 home against Fresno State is a mandatory win. And then the Q1s. At Boise State, home against San Diego State. Those might be the key ones. Grabbing just one of those games will make it a lot easier for New Mexico to get in the field. A lot easier. And it's something that they must do. They must do it. If they don't do it, they're in trouble. They are in big trouble. And then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here for this Sunday. A little bit of a shorter show. But again, it's a crazy week in Phoenix. Has been all week with the Super Bowl in town. And kind of a good week for myself and Nick Cannulli to enjoy it. And it's been a very enjoyable week. But after this, it's crunch time. It's coming Sunday. 19th, still a very crucial show. A lot of mid-major regular season championship races. We'll be talking about that next week. And then the 26th, we will have conference tournament brackets in our hands. Yeah, get excited. Get excited. It's happening. It is really happening. We are so close to bracket season. I cannot wait. No after party this week either. We'll catch you again next Sunday live from the Bill Austin Radio Studio. I've been Nicholas Hodel. Enjoy your week, everyone. We'll catch you then.